Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Fantasy Baseball Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $100 at WinBet and get $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WinBet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim free bet today. We're also brought to you by the SGPN merch store. From now until Tuesday, get 20% off when you use the promo code NFCBEAST. That's NFC. BEAST. How you doing, Ray?
Doing pretty good here, sweating out my championship matchup. It doesn't look good for me here, but I do have some options left for me. I still have a move left this week, so hopefully I'll be able to get something going here on Saturday night going into Sunday.
How many moves are you allowed per week?
Well, we usually do six, but then it got increased to nine during the All-Star break, and that was just never moved back down. So nine. So it's pretty free-flowing with the streaming and picking up batters. And I know some leagues do like tighter, like four moves a week is what we have in the SGPN league. But I feel like between four and six is probably a good number.
Yeah, that's a pretty good number. You can deal with like injuries and streaming and all that stuff pretty easily with like four to six. I know in my biggest paid league that I was in this year did not make the playoffs. Very sad about that. But we didn't have a transaction limit for the week, but we had an innings limit, which that came to bite me in the ass a couple times, the old innings limit. But I like the transaction limit when it's like that. I think I'm in like a ESPN free league. I'm in the finals, but I think the matchup acquisition limit is like 17 or something ridiculous that you would never actually reach in a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to do like max moves per season, like to make it like an average of four or five per week, but then people could just save up moves for the playoffs, which, you know what, that's a strategy you can use. So but it just seems like now it's more like weekly limits, which, yeah, it makes every move matter more.
Yeah, I do like the weekly limits. I know I had a work league for my other job that we did for quite a while. It ended when the pandemic ended. When the pandemic started, everybody decided they didn't want to play fantasy baseball anymore, which sucked for me. But we didn't have a transaction limit. But what we did was every move you made cost a dollar.
Ooh, I like that.
Adding somebody was a dollar. Dropping somebody was a dollar. Trading was a dollar. And then every week, whichever team was the highest scoring team got all of the money from the transaction pot for that week. So there was no limit, but it was costing you actual money every time you did it, and it made it really fun because you really had to think like, do I really want to spend a dollar to stream a pitcher that's probably going to give up six runs in four innings?
Yeah, I think something like that would be really cool to do, especially if you have a league where like every manager is like really into it, really like detailed and stuff. And yeah, it makes you're actually spending money into the pot, and then, you know what, if you win the week, you get all that. But if not, it's just going to waste, and you have to factor that into your buy-in. So yeah, that's interesting. I do think having a minimum, a maximum innings limit is interesting too, because then you always, I hear talk with people about like, oh, should I bench this starter against this team? I'm like, no, play this, unless it's like a horrible matchup. If he's on your team, like, put him in. He could get a win, get some strikeouts, help out your ratios a little bit. But yeah, having max innings, all different type of league settings. I think that's something we can definitely get into more during the off season when we have more time and less actual baseball to talk about.
I agree. One thing that I really want to start off this episode with is Pujols hit number 700. Like, realistically, we might never see that again. I shouldn't say might never, because I didn't think we were ever going to see it again before this. But I mean, 700 home runs is such an incredible feat, especially him and Hank Aaron are the only people with 700 home runs and 3,000 hits ever in the history of baseball. Like, that's, and the fact that he hit 699 and 700 on the same night against the Dodgers on Apple TV is incredible.
Yeah, it was funny because everyone was complaining about how they're not going to be able to watch Judge because it's on Apple TV. And then later that night, Pujols hits one and hits another to get to an even more impressive number, I would say, than getting to 61. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it would take for someone to get up to 700. But I mean, someone like your favorite Mariner, Julio Rodriguez, someone come into the league that young, if they can hit 20, 30 a season for 15 years, that's only 450 home runs. You have to like go off with a few 50s in there, or 60 if you're someone like Aaron Judge. But yeah, with the pitching getting so much more difficult, with the analytics and everything, and being able to strategize against batters, I don't know if we're ever going to see something like that again.
Especially with how easily a lot of these guys go to the like injured list and shit now too. Mm-hmm. Like, I always forget that we can cuss on here. Huh. Like, I mean, Julio, I would love Julio to get there. At first, when you said everybody's favorite Mariner, I thought you were going to say Jared Kelnick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's on pace now after being called up. What does he have? He has a home run, a few doubles, something like that.
I mean, he's our savior at this point. Like, it's that's all there is to it. But, like, with Julio, he's the injuries he's had recently make me nervous. But I mean, he is the type of talent that could get there. Somebody like him, somebody like Acuna, somebody like Vlad Guerrero Jr. Like, he came up fairly young. He's got the type of power, and I mean playing in Toronto helps too. Like, if he just stays in Toronto forever, I go from Toronto to the Rockies and just hit like fucking 50 home runs a season. Oh, that would be incredible. But, I mean, I don't have the active home run leaders pulled up right now, but I can't imagine that there's anybody near 500 at this point. I mean, maybe Miggy, but I think Miggy's at like 400. Or no, he's 500.
I have let up. Miggy's at 506. Nelson Cruz is at 459. He's 41 though, so I don't see him getting there. Then you have Stanton 375, Trout 346. Like, Stanton's barely halfway there. Trout's almost halfway there. They've played 13 in 12 years. They're 32-30. They're not going to get there. Like, looking at guys in their like mid 20s, you have to go all the way down to Joey Gallo, who's 28, is 176.
That's tough. I mean, Pete Alonso will probably climb that list soon with the way he mashes the ball, but he's like 27.
He's 27. He's played four seasons. He's at 143. Yeah, I mean, these guys, what's Guerrero at? Guerrero's, like, a spell that would help. Oh, he's not even on, he's not even in the top 100 because he hasn't.
I bet he's like.
Acuna's 97. He's at 118 in five seasons. He's only 24. But still, that's, you have to do that. You have to multiply that by six. You have to play 30 years. Like, it's just, yeah, it's incredible. Juan Soto, maybe. He's 124 and he's only 23. I guess he's the guy to look at, but he cooled off there for a while, kind of screwed my fantasy team. Devers is only 25. He's at 139. Yeah, I mean, there's a good next generation of baseball players and even power hitters, but 700 home runs is just an insane number. And even 500 is at this point.
Yeah, like, I feel like 500 is very quickly going to become, I mean, not necessarily the new 700, but like, nowadays it's going to be like, damn, if you hit 500 home runs, you are, in this league, you are just an incredible home run hitter. Because 700, I don't think, I don't think there's anybody that has the longevity to even do that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, only four people ever have done it. So like it's not
it's not like it's like some massive list that everybody joins. Yeah,
it's not like, oh, projecting the next 700 home run hitter. It's like projecting the next 500 is probably the goal at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. And also with Pujols, I mean, he hit 700, which is wild, but his second half of the season has been nuts. Like if you just go, we'll go from August 4th. So almost 2 months, he is batting 306 with five doubles, 14 home runs, and 34 RBIs. That, I mean, he's, what is it, 41, 42? How are you in a month and a half putting up 14 home runs and 30 whatever RBIs and just looking like the best hitter in baseball when this is like your, this is your swan song. This is it. And you're really turning it on at the end here.
Yeah, he's just so relaxed, like knowing this is his last season. He's so at peace with it. He's even with the home run ball. He was like, yeah, I don't want it. It's for the fan to have. It's their memorabilia. I don't need the material stuff. It's just he wants to have the memories and being able to be one of the best players in baseball. And like you almost want to see him come back next season to see if he can get to 715, maybe come back another season to see if he can get to 750 or something. But yeah, it's I think this is a good way for him to go out. And I hate the fact that it has some good vibes for the Cardinals heading into the playoffs, because that could very well be the Phillies' first matchup.
Oh, that would be a rough first matchup for you guys. Although the Cardinals they've struggled to score runs. Mm-hmm. Recently, yeah. Which is a huge help, but still trying to play that lineup in the playoffs. Nobody looks at that lineup and is like, oh yeah, hell yeah. Like definitely want to play those guys.
Absolutely not. With Goldschmidt and Arenado and all those guys, and they have the experience. So I think the NL playoff picture it's still being decided with the Phillies, Padres and Brewers all in the mix for the second and third wild card. But yeah, it's going to be tough no matter what.
It's going to be really tough to win. And speaking of win, are you thinking of joining WinBet? Now's the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. Plus, the WinBet Casino is always open 24 hours a day where you can get a $100 deposit bonus up to $1,000. WinBet is live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. Plus, WinBet has their own same-day parlay feature. Just click on the game you like, select build your own bet and start building a monster parlay. There is so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
It's football season here, and if you watch football, you need Fubo TV. Fubo TV gives you complete coverage of college and pro football with NFL Red Zone plus games in 4K at no extra charge. There's over 100 channels of live sports and entertainment for a fraction of the price of cable. You can watch on all your devices and never miss a game or an episode of your favorite shows with the included cloud-based DVR. Plus, there's no contract, no commitment, and you can cancel at any time. Right now, you can try Fubo TV free for 7 days and get 15% off your first month. Just go to FuboTV.com/SGP. That's FuboTV.com/SGP.
And now on to Odds Trader. Odds Trader is a place to compare odds from all major sports books. You can also compare the different sign-up codes and promotions from sports books to get the best deal. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. And it also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activity. They do everything from handicapping, play-by-play updates, live scoring, and bet tracking, player statistics, key game statistics, projected game day weather, and their bet tracker allows you to keep records of all your games and betting activity. Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader, the number one site for all your game day bets.
Yeah, now,
Oh yeah, no, go ahead.
Oh, I'm saying yeah. So Pujols having such a straight great second half, getting to 700 was kind of surprising. There were a lot of big surprises, I feel like, in 2022. What do you feel like was one of the biggest surprises for either your fantasy team or someone that you wish you kind of that you missed the boat on, but you wish you caught on to earlier?
Man, the one that I missed the boat on that I wish I had caught on earlier was Brandon Drury. He came out of literal nowhere. Like, he was pretty good a couple years ago, like 2016 and 17. He was a doubles machine, over 30 doubles each season, around like 16 home runs, 13 home runs, that sort of thing, batting in the 260s, 270s. And then he just fell off the map for a few years. And then all of a sudden this year, if you mix up like between the two teams he played for this year, he's batting 260, 28 doubles, 27 home runs, and 83 RBIs. Like, that 27 home runs is more home runs than he had in 2021, 2020, 2019, and 2018 combined. Like, he just all of a sudden is just Brandon power hitter Drury. And he was on my waivers forever at the beginning of the year. And I just kept telling myself, like, that's not real stats. Like, he's not going to be able to keep that up. It's just kind of the early season. Like, he's got a little hot bat to start the season type of thing. But no, he's just been hot and never cooled off.
Yeah, I mean, his start to the season wasn't like spectacular. For the first 2 months, April and May, he was hitting 233, 8 home runs in 40 games. So that's, I mean, that's still on pace for 30 home runs there, but he really picked it up in June. He had 8 home runs, and that's actually when I picked him up for my team. Someone in my league dropped him on June 3rd. I picked him up on June 6th, and I've had him there since. He's been in Yahoo. He can play second base, third base, outfield. He gained first base eligibility, so I liked him in Cincy. I kind of wish the Phillies traded for him, but he went to San Diego, cooled off a bit. But in that lineup, he's been someone that I can rely on to play pretty much anywhere. He's been bad in the past week, though, looking at it. He's only 2-for-19, but he had a 2-home run game last week. He was a good find off the waiver wire. And just looking through some of these, like, top-ranked guys overall on Yahoo, based compared to their, like, preseason rank, Julio Rodriguez is one of the best up there. Dansby Swanson's had a great season for Atlanta, heading into a contract year. Nathaniel Lowe has come out of nowhere for Texas, and he was just hitting bombs, just it seemed like every day for a while, and he's still up there. And another infielder too is Jimenez for the Guardians.
Yeah, he's one that I actually did get lucky enough to pick up. At some point this year, I think it was a little earlier on in the year, I picked him up just because I really needed that middle infield help in my lineup. And he has just gone on to be weirdly good. Like, after last year, I mean, he hit, where is it at? Don't mind me. Last year, thanks Baseball Savant for making it difficult to find batting averages. There we go. He hit .218 last year in 68 games. 218 with 10 doubles, 5 home runs, and 16 RBIs. Like, he was on nobody's radar coming into this year, unless maybe you were a Guardians fan, which I can't imagine that there's a ton of those or was a ton of those going into this season. So he's kind of on nobody's radar. And then now this year, I mean, he's hitting .302 with 25 doubles, 3 triples, 16 home runs, excellent strikeout rate, stole 19 bases. Like, I mean, he can hit 94th percentile in sprint speed. Like, the man is fast. 72nd percentile in expected batting average. He doesn't hit the ball that hard, but when you got the speed that came, you don't really need to.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good find. I think he was on the waiver wire for a while. Looking at his player history on Yahoo, he was picked up and dropped by two teams in May and then June before being added on June 17th by the owner that has him now. I mean, he's been great, and someone that I was able to I actually drafted him in the 14th round, Willie Adames for the Brewers. He's low key been one of really the best shortstops in baseball, especially power wise. 31 home runs, 95 RBIs. He's been kind of the guy for the Brewers when they needed him to step up, and he's been great in September too. So he's helped me out definitely fantasy wise too.
Yeah, he had some injury issues there in the middle of the year, which that nobody really likes to deal with when it comes to fantasy. But he was one of those guys that he's hitting so well this year, you kind of just had to ride it out, like let him take up that IL spot. Or if your IL was already taken up, let him just hang out on your bench. I mean, hitting 244, he's not lighting the world on fire there, but 31 home runs and 95 RBIs is pretty damn good. Barreling the ball up at a career best 13.7%, more than double the league average. His average exit velo is 89.2. Last year, 89.5 was his highest. So, it's, I mean, right there, right around the career high. And he's hitting the ball. It's a hard hit rate. 44.6%, which is nuts. So he's just making excellent quality contact this year, and it's really paying off.
Yeah, I mean, those guys have been great. Someone else that here's the home run leaders this season. You have Judge, Schwarber, Alonso, Jordan, Austin Riley, Mike Trout, and tied with Mike Trout for the sixth most home runs is Christian Walker. He was a guy that was probably available on most waiver wires throughout the year. In my main league, he was owned and dropped by someone in June, someone in late June to July. Someone added him in August, dropped him a few days ago or last week. I picked him up for the doubleheader he had against the Dodgers earlier this week. He's just been a guy that, I mean, his first base has been a deep position in the past. It's gone back and forth a little bit, but he's hitting .236, so not a lot of average. He's not getting a lot of RBIs, but I mean, he has 36 home runs. The Diamondbacks have some decent young pieces. I'm not sure of his contract situation, but he's 31. He's shown he can hit for some power, and he might be a guy to maybe talk about over the offseason looking into next year. Because I mean, last year he had 10 home runs, but before the pandemic in the 2019 season, he had 29 home runs, hit .259. So he could be a guy that, you know, this year may have not been just a blip on the radar.
Yeah, he actually figured out a home run swing this season, which, I mean, the 29 home runs a couple years ago was nice, but this season he's tweaked it a bit. He's raised his launch angle up to like 17 degrees, and it's just really swinging for the fucking fences, and it's paying off in a major way. He's somebody that I've been on since, and I think first time I included him in one of my fantasy baseball articles was late May, early June. And I've just been telling everybody and their mother, like, he's the average isn't there. I mean, the guy hits. And if you're a StatCast nerd like me, if you look at his Baseball Savant page, it's just all red. 71st percentile for average exit velocity, 93rd percentile for XWOBA, 93rd percentile for expected slugging, 86th percentile for barrel rate. And what's more impressive is he walks a good amount, 11% of the time this year. He's lowered his K rate to a career best 19.6%. And it's because he's hardly chasing. He's in the 82nd percentile in chase rate in all of baseball. Like he's kind of one of those guys that kind of figured out, like, this is my pitch that I like, and I'm not going to swing at anything that's not that pitch. And when he swings at what is that pitch, it just goes a fucking mile.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of someone else, and someone else kind of similar to that that is still he's available in my league. He's been picked up and dropped a bunch is Rowdy Tellez for the Brewers. He has 32 home runs, tied for 11th. He's only hitting .220, 85 RBIs also, but he's right now hitting third for the Brewers. He's a guy that is gonna give you power, and maybe this power could be for real, because he was with Toronto before, wasn't great. I think he had like 15 home runs one year. Yeah, 19 home runs, or no, 21 home runs before the pandemic, 19 doubles that year. He could be a guy to look for too. He's going to be 28 next March, so maybe coming into his own there with some power if you're looking for power to talk about. And one guy I want to talk about that looked good in the first half, I traded for him, and I feel like he had some injury right before I traded him. Traded for him, Taylor Ward. I traded for him in my keeper league. He was off to a fantastic start. I think he like crashed into the wall and had some nerve damage or something, like in his hand, so he couldn't swing right, and that cost him some time. But it looks, looking at his game log, he's been back at it here in September. He has 10-game hit streak about. On Friday night, he had 2 home runs against the Twins in a 4-2 win, rare win for the Angels. I think he's still relatively young enough where he could be some. No, he's not. He's gonna be 29 in December. But he has not been on the fantasy radar before. And he was someone that kind of came out of nowhere to be a good guy in the first half. And it looks like he's finding it again here in September.
Yeah, and he was one of those guys at the beginning of the year. Everybody likes to compare people to Mike Trout and the fact that he played for the Angels. Kind of, he was getting those comparisons early on. Like, dang, like, is he the next diamond of the rough that the Angels found? Like, is he going to put up these Mike Troutian numbers? And then he kind of just fell off the face of the earth. Like, he's getting dropped everywhere in fantasy. But yeah, recently he's been doing pretty well. He's got like what, 3 or 4 home runs the last week or so. Since the beginning of August, he's been okay. I mean, he's hitting .272. With 6 doubles, 8 home runs, 25 RBIs, which is pretty nice. But, I mean, that Angels team as a whole is just kind of weirdly underperformed, especially in the second half. And he's just one of those guys that did the same thing. And I think part of it was due to injury. So he's somebody that will probably end up going on my under-the-radar players to watch for next year. Just because if he can come back fully healthy next year, get a full, fully healthy season, I'm really curious to see what he's able to do.
Yeah, especially if the Angels kind of don't blow it up, which maybe they should do. If they keep Trout, if they keep Ohtani, if Rendon can have a healthy season or live up to any sort of expectations, Ward could be a decent guy in that lineup. But yeah, hopefully some of these players give you some advantage in your league this season. And speaking of advantage, make sure you check out No House Advantage. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Playing pick'em contests versus other people for the shot at winning $250,000 plus in cash. Download the app, choose a contest, select your props, earn points for correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot to win big money every day. You can also test your skills against the house and earn 20 times your entry if you hit all your picks. Bet on up to 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sports league, including NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but also where you play. You won't want to miss out on this. Sign up now with promo code SGPN at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app to get a first deposit match up to $25.
And now promoguy.us. Promoguy.us is the best place to go if you're interested in plus EV betting strategies. They've got daily updates on odds boosts and huge cash bonuses from all of our major sports books. And they've got a VIP Discord group that puts even deeper plus EV analytics right at your fingertips. I got to say, we've been looking at their daily promo updates, and they have some of the most informative in the game. They don't simply tell you what team is probable to win, but where you'll get the best odds and how to track down and cash in big on constantly changing promotions. If you're not already using mathematical models to help you with your picks, you're missing out on an insanely valuable tool. And the best part of all is that PromoGuy is run by a small team of passionate sports fans dedicated to building a well-informed, better betting community. Go to promoguy.us and check out their 100% tracked, transparent, and proven method for betting smarter. So make sure you check out promoguy.us.
Now, on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a league on there. I use it for mine. It's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can win on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. Over-unders are integrated into fantasy, which is the first sports contest game built into the fantasy experience. Not only can you enter a contest via over-under itself, you can also do so through your fantasy league's matchup screen. So if Patrick Mahomes is your starting fantasy quarterback, and not only do you think you're going to win your matchup, but you're also confident that he's going to hit his overpassing yard line, you can do both. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about Over/Under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friend's picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. They have NFL player props as well as college football player props. So stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new Over/Under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Promo code SGP. Again, go to sleeper.com/SGP and you'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details.
Also, if you guys are trying to talk to us outside of the show, you can hit us up on the Discord. It's sg.pn/discord. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at sgpnfanbaseball. We're always around, always down to talk, shoot the shit about baseball. I mean, you guys can just tell me how good the Mariners are, and I will respond back probably with some weird gif. It'll be a fun time. But today's Saturday. If you're listening to this, it's Sunday, which means it might be your final day of your matchup in your fantasy baseball championships. So what better thing to talk about than some streaming options? If you're streaming in the championship round, props to you. That is a bold strategy. But obviously you've made it this far, so here we are. If you follow some of the SGPN content we put out, I'm the baseball editor. And one of the guys that we have there, Matt Valdez. Matt, if you're listening to this, what up? He puts out an excellent streaming article each week. I think this one that's out now is the last one for the season, RIP. But it will be back next year. It's an incredible, incredible article. He goes daily, breaks down who is the best option streaming-wise for each day of the week. And his option for today is Jose Suarez of the Angels facing Minnesota. Minnesota's been an ideal matchup for some people recently. They're not hitting quite as good as Minnesota should be hitting. And Suarez has some decent peripherals on the year. He hasn't been a bad pitcher by any means. He isn't anybody that's lighting the world on absolute fire. But if you're streaming, you kind of just got to go with the best option out there. And Suarez is looking like the option.
Yeah, Suarez is solid. He wasn't available in my league that I streamed in, but yeah, he's had a few tough goes recently against Seattle and Cleveland. But Minnesota, I don't think has, like you said, has not been hitting how Minnesota should be. So he's a solid option there. The guy I picked up for my championship matchup tomorrow, I picked up Adrian Sampson of the Cubs. Normally the Cubs, really, you don't want to stream them whatsoever, but he's going against the Pirates. He's coming off a few straight quality starts against some quality opponents, against the Marlins, who aren't great, but he had 6 shutout innings against the Mets. Prior to that, it was a 3.35 ERA in the year, 61 strikeouts. So he's a guy that, you know, he's been good in September. The Pirates are not a good lineup, even though they have Neil Cruz, Brian Hayes, guys like that. I think Sampson could be a guy to look at, especially if you're in a quality start league. If you're looking for wins, or even just if you're looking to get a few strikeouts and help out your ratios, he's a guy that over the past few starts has not given up much. He's only allowed 1 earned run or less in each of his past 3 starts, and allowed 2 earned run or less in 7 of his last 8 starts overall. So Sampson is not a guy you typically look at, but going against the Pirates on potentially the last day of your fantasy baseball season, I think he could do worse.
Yeah, I mean, not to like guarantee stats for anybody, but he seems all but guaranteed to at least throw a quality start out there, which is huge. And if you're going to stream a pitcher, getting a quality start is probably like that's the baseline you want to look for. Now, he's not going to like light the world on fire with strikeouts, even though Pittsburgh does strike out quite a bit. He's probably going to get 3, 4, 5 if he's really having a good day. But yeah, he'll go 6. He might give up a run or two, maybe to an O'Neill Cruz home run, and then he's going to put you in line to at least get a win, which in points leagues, which is my kind of forte, is his. I mean, that's what you need out of your pitchers, is you need that plus 10 points or plus 8 points, however many points you get for a win out of your pitcher. And another guy I've had my eye on is Aaron Savali. Are we calling Savali? Is that how you say it? Savali?
I think it's Savali. Savali. Yes. Yeah,
he's going up against Texas tomorrow. I mean, he's, again, not somebody that's lighting the world on fire, but if you're streaming, you're not really going to find anybody that's lighting the world on fire. But he has been decent recently. He's, I mean, 5 innings, 6.1, 4.2. But even in the 4.2 inning game, he only gave up 1 run. And he's got decent strikeout numbers. I mean, back against Detroit in August, he struck out 10. then four over 4.2 innings, five over 6.1, 8.66 K9 for the year. His ERA is not the best, 5.29, but I mean, his 3.92 xFIP means he's been getting slightly unlucky, and he's against Texas. That's a matchup that's very winnable for him.
Yeah, that's a good look in deeper leagues. I think he's been up and down, but he will get you strikeouts. Like you said, his strikeouts per nine is almost nine. He has 77 in 80 innings. He showed he can strike out a lot against Detroit last month. He had 10 and just six. So I think against Texas, that's not a bad look. Looking at some of the, if you're in a shallower league, you could look for Clevinger, even though he is at Coors Field. Ross Stripling at Tampa Bay, he's been good. Edward Cabrera, if you need strikeouts, possibly a win too against the Nationals. And then that's probably the ones. And okay, so here's my qualm here. I have one move left in my league, and here's who's available. J.P. Sears for the A's going against the Mets. So that's not a great matchup, even though he did well against Seattle last start. Jacob Junis going against the Diamondbacks. He hasn't had a few good starts in a row. Anibal Sanchez, who I don't know how he's still around pitching well, but he's done well recently. Two quality starts in his last four, including against Miami last time, going against Miami again. So who out of those, or maybe even someone deeper, would you look at?
Oh, man, that's tough.
They're not good options. I mean, I'm putting you on the spot here with like picking three just grenades here. Which one's gonna go off?
I'd probably go Anibal Sanchez. Just because, I mean, looking at his recent game log, he's given up a total of five runs in six starts.
Yeah,
and he's facing Miami, who's not. I mean, nobody, we had a whole episode like titled after this, but the Marlins are a dumpster fire. Nobody looks at them and it's like, oh man, they're going to light that pitcher up. I can't stream against them. They're one of the more ideal teams to look for as a matchup when you're streaming. He's not really striking many people out, but he's not giving up a lot of hits either. Like count these up real quick. 14 hits in six games. He's having a decent little stretch here, and I mean, he's probably the one that I would lean on. I mean, I can't trust anybody starting against the Mets. Their lineup is unbelievable, so I wouldn't go down that road. But yeah, I think Anibal Sanchez is probably the guy that I would look at.
I have another option here who I didn't really even realize is like a legit option. Luis Ortiz. He's had for the Pirates going against the Cubs, so you could pick up him plus Sampson, hopefully try to get a win on one of those sides, maybe get two quality starts. He's made two starts this season. It went 5 2/3 with five strikeouts, no runs against Cincinnati. Five innings, five strikeouts, 1.80 ERA. What's that? One run against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium last time. So he's at home, first start in Pittsburgh. I'm trying to find his minor league numbers. I don't think they're overly great. Yeah, this year at AAA, he had a 4.59 ERA. Last year at AAA, he had a 4.60. So it seems like a AAA quad A pitcher probably at his ceiling. But for a team against the Cubs who, you know, they had Morel was good early in the year. Wisdom was okay. Contreras is on the IL now. So Ortiz, he's only rostered in 6% of Yahoo leagues. So that might be who I end up picking up with my final move.
Yeah, I like that one as well. Anytime you could pick up somebody going against the Cubs, it's a pretty good matchup as well. Especially, I mean, it's got the K's. It's about not like right around nine per nine innings, mm-hmm. which solid. So he gets you a decent amount of K's. He's not really giving up many runs or hits. I mean, the last start was against the Yankees. Five innings pitched, three hits, an earned run, a couple walks, and five K's against the Yankees, which, I mean, that's a respectable matchup to be looking fairly dominant in. So yeah, I like that move a lot.
And yeah, we look into the numbers a bit here, and if you're a big numbers guy, you can check out the Elias Game Plan app. Did you know that the best day of the week is actually Monday, Thursday, and Sunday? Because it's NFL season, our favorite time of the year. And whether you're into fantasy leagues, betting, or just talking highlights, the NFL season just got a lot better thanks to the Elias Game Plan app. It's the ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for the NFL, NBA, and MLB. It's the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats. The Elias Sports Bureau are the official statisticians of U.S. pro sports leagues. It's full of info and insights provided by their renowned research team, which means they constantly give you info that's up to date and that you can trust. Gives you everything you need, from league validated team and player news and stats, head to head team comparisons, along with Elias key insights from the Elias statisticians, including injury impact analysis. They release new features all the time, like their chat function, which allows you to talk directly with their researchers, so you get the information you need to feel comfortable when making big decisions on betting or your fantasy team. I always check out the Elias Game Plan app for some strikeout player props, pitcher props, even just looking at matchups for your fantasy team, too. It's something that's definitely going to help you be profitable overall. So elevate your NFL season today and download the Elias Game Plan app. That's E-L-I-A-S. And right now, I have a special offer when you subscribe. Get 15% off your annual subscription, but only if you use my promo code SGPN15. Find Elias Game Plan Sports Betting in the App Store or Play Store today and use my promo code SGPN15.
And introducing Run Your Pool VIP, a brand new subscription service from Run Your Pool that helps you get an extra edge against the books, plus exclusive access to real money pools. Get access to exclusive data to help with your weekly game picks, premium content like in-depth guides for how to dominate your pools, and exclusive swag. The top line here is that if you're a serious sports fan, you need Run Your Pool VIP. Use code SGPNVIP at runyourpool.com/VIP and get 50% off your first month of Run Your Pool VIP. That's code SGPNVIP at runyourpool.com/VIP. One more guy I have to ask about is, what percent is Nicola Dolo owned in Yahoo Leagues?
Oh, I was going to mention him among the guys that are probably going to be among those guys. Are like, okay, if they're shallower, he's rostered in 55% of leagues. I just don't like it going against Milwaukee. I think that's a tough matchup for him, even though, I mean, he's had his last start against them a few starts ago, 8 innings, a win, 11 strikeouts. What's that? 2 earned runs. So yeah, I mean, Lodolo could be a guy to look for if he's available.
Yeah. He has turned into a kind of a strikeout connoisseur this year. Like, mm-hmm. He is just out of nowhere, which, I mean, it's not even necessarily out of nowhere. In the minors this year, he pitched 3 games and had a 13.5 K9. This year in the majors, 11.7 K9. One thing he does is just gets people out. The only downfall for him is he plays for the Reds, which
yeah,
is kind of a downside that outshines any other positives mm-hmm. you could think about somebody. But he was somebody I thought might have got moved at the trade deadline this year, actually. So the fact that they kept him and they kept Hunter Green,
they strike out
a lot of people. Just, yeah. They can't hit.
Lodolo was a top pick in his draft. I think it was 7th overall pick, I'm reading here. But yeah, Lodolo, Hunter Green just absolutely, what do you have, like 40 pitches over 100 miles per hour in one of his starts?
Yeah.
His recent starts. That's just absolutely insane. He had 11 strikeouts, so. Yeah, those are two young guys there for Cincinnati that might be something they can build around.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a matter of if they can entice anybody to come play actual like fielding positions there to contribute on the offensive end. Otherwise, it's going to look a lot like Jacob DeGrom all those years for the Mets, just being lights out every night and getting one run of run support. And that's going to be Lodolo's downfall, which I hope doesn't get to his head, because the kid's got nasty stuff. I mean, on FanGraphs, his slider is rated a 70 on an 80-point scale. That's just a disgusting pitch. He's somebody that, yeah, I mean, facing the Brewers isn't the ideal matchup for a streaming option, but if he is available in your league and you're, like, down on Ks or something along those lines,
mm-hmm. yeah,
he's well worth a look, because he's going to get a lot of them tomorrow.
Yeah, why is the scouting scale 20-80 and not just 0-100? Like, why haven't they fixed that over the years? Well, it's just something that annoys me a little bit, but it's whatever that scale is, I guess.
Yeah, I I've never understood that. And I tried to understand it one time and it's like, you know what? It's just, it's 20 to 80. Like, that's just what it is. I have no idea. Cause like you tell some people that he's got a 70 graded slider. Like that's crazy. And people are gonna be like, what the hell does that mean?
It's like, oh, it's only 70 out of like a 7 out of 10. Like it can't be that good. It can be decent. Yeah. 70 out of 80 is
above average.
Especially when like 80 is like just elite. And like no one gets there. It's just, it's incredible.
Yeah, I think Hunter Green has an 80 rated fastball, and then so Lodolo's 70 rated slider is just, that should, if you pay enough attention to baseball and you're have seen Hunter Green pitch, hopefully that puts it into some perspective just how disgusting Lodolo's slider is. But pairing that with a 45 fastball isn't, it doesn't help a ton. But I mean, yeah, he's a fun ass pitcher to watch. I'm excited to see how he does tomorrow, today, depending on when you listen to this, and next year. He's going to be for sure on my radar next year.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I think that is going to do it for this episode. Good luck to everybody in your championship matchups tomorrow. If you're looking to get a hold of me, you can follow me on Twitter at Buhlocke, BUHHLOCKAYE.
Yeah, and with the fantasy baseball season kind of coming to a close here, if you guys have anything, any topics you want to touch on, we're going to get into some daily fantasy stuff as the actual playoffs come up. But we're going to get into whatever you guys want to hear. So make sure you reach out to the SGPN Fantasy Baseball Twitter account at SGPN Fan Baseball. Also find us on Discord, sg.pn/Discord. And make sure you subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple, sg.pn/Fantasy Baseball, and Spotify, sg.pn/Fantasy Baseball S, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm Ryan Gilbert. You can find me on Twitter at rgilbertsop.
All right, that's going to do it.
Peace.